to say thank you. Thank you for your support and love over the last several weeks as we've welcomed baby Andrew and sort of adjusted to life with two little ones under three. We are doing well. We're sleeping when we can. And here we are. Andrew's here. My parents have him here this morning. He's back there. This is warming up. I was going to share with you my new favorite picture of Andrew in case you haven't seen him yet. But I really do appreciate just your love and prayers and really just allowing me to have this time away. Man, he's just really starting to coo and smile. Oh, thank you. You have it on a board now. That's awesome. And speaking of kids, it's time to release the kids for our Revolution Kids. Our kids that are here. Matt's got you this morning. Have fun. Awesome, awesome. Just thank you for allowing me that time away and for your love and support. I know I've seen some of you throughout this time, but it is just good to officially be back. I second just want to say thank you for all of those who stepped up to cover while I was away. Of course, we had Matt and Amy that did in June, especially Daryl and Micah all throughout who really stepped up. Other leaders, probably too many to name, but especially thanks to Matt Turner and the whole SPR. Thanks to I know Karen and Debbie, so many that took on some extra roles. Y'all just did an incredible job. We got Marie back videoing. She stepped up while I was away and got trained to do that, and I'm just so grateful. Really, y'all just stepped up and got it done because that's what the church does, and we're doing the work of the church, and you already knew that that was more than just one person. Amen? And so now we're just going to keep it going. And so thank you especially to those leaders. Y'all did an incredible job, and I'm so grateful for the time that I had. Also want to thank Vance, our lay leader, for bringing a powerful message last week. Yeah. Hey. If you all haven't had a chance to listen to that message, please go back and do so. I did a few times this week and was just really grateful. I was grateful. You didn't know it, Vance, but you really set me up perfectly for this next series. It was the Holy Spirit. In fact, a lot of this is going to feel really repetitive. And you'll be like, she just stole it from Vance. That's what she... We were on the same wavelength, thanks to the Holy Spirit. Because last week, Vance talked about the very last words that Jesus said to his disciples in the Gospel of Matthew before leaving, before the ascension. Hey, we caught it. There we go. It's okay. We're just going to hold it. Before the ascension. And that was the Great Commission, when he said to his disciples, go. Go and baptize and teach and make disciples of all nations. Go. And so for this series, what we are going to do is we're going to talk about what comes next after those first disciples were sent and they went. Kind of part two of that story. Part two. If the gospel covers the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, then what comes next is the book of Acts, when those disciples take off in the power of the Spirit, and they went, and they baptized, and they taught, and they spread the gospel, and the early church was formed. That's part two. And in fact, we're going to be looking at the book of Acts throughout this series. And I don't know if this is interesting, if you know this, the gospel of Luke and the book of Acts, most people believe were written by the same person. So what we have there is actually two parts of the same story. The Gospel of Luke talks about the life, death, and resurrections of Jesus, and then the same person who wrote then part two of that story of when the disciples took off. And it's the ascension, actually, that kind of holds both of them together. So what's that Great Commission according to Luke? He sort of says the same thing. Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead. All of these things... this is going to be proclaimed in all of the nations, beginning in Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And he says, behold, I'm sending the promise of my Father upon you, but stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. And what does this same author add then in Acts? Just the next chapter later, if you see them as the same narrative, the same story, just two chapters apart, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses. Starting in Jerusalem, then all of Judea, Samaria, and then to the ends of the earth. Go. and be my witnesses. Go in the power of the Spirit, starting there in Jerusalem to the ends of the earth. So each week in this series, what we're going to do is we're going to take a person that we find in, you might actually catch me saying the Gospel of Acts, because some people say that. I won't mean to, but that's what my mind is going to do. We're going to look at a different person that we find in the book of Acts, some of the very first people that we see respond to this great commission and their faithful witness. We're going to learn a little bit about their story each week and then see how they might challenge us as the church today to respond to this same commission to go in the power of the Spirit and be witnesses. So if you've studied the book of Acts before, you know it is just filled. It is packed with just a lot of incredible stories. Just healings, miraculous events, some mass conversions, so to speak, and baptisms. In the power of the Holy Spirit, through the disciples, like Jesus is gone at this point and has left the Spirit. Amazing things happen in the book of Acts. That just incredible. And what I hope that we're going to see is that these ordinary, these extraordinary things actually happen through very sort of unassuming, ordinary people. That's what we're going to see. There are a lot of people in the book of Acts that we could highlight. It was hard to just pick a few. But what I hope we learn is that these extraordinary things that we think about when the early church takes off, and so many of us for so many years have said, man, if we could just get back there. There's a lot we can learn from the first that answered that call after Jesus' ascension. And really, they were just some ordinary people. So this week, the first folks that we're going to look at, actually two, Peter and John, some well-known disciples, apostles, of course. So, you know, they might feel like, okay, but they were apostles. They, like, walked with Jesus. They knew him. We're going to see. As Vance mentioned last week, just a couple ordinary people. So we're going to start here in the book of Acts chapter 4, verses 1 through 13. And for the first time in a long time, I think, I'm going to invite you to read this with me. Three slides here. Let's read. And as they were speaking to the people, the priest and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, greatly annoyed because they were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they arrested them and put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening. But many of those who had heard the word believed, and the number of the men came to about 5,000. On the next day, their rulers and elders and scribes gathered together in Jerusalem with Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and all who were of the high priestly family. And when they had set them in the midst, they inquired, "By what power or by what name did you do this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers of the people and elders, if we are being examined today concerning a good deed done to a crippled man, by what means this man has been healed, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man is standing before you well. This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated common men, they were astonished. And they recognized they had been with Jesus. Four slides. Last one, I think, is the best. And they recognized that they had been with Jesus. A little bit of background of where we are in Acts 4. Just before this, in Acts chapter 3, Peter and John were on their way to the temple to pray. They're starting in Jerusalem, right? That's where they were supposed to start. You're going to go and be my witnesses starting in Jerusalem. So they go to the temple. And at the gate, they see a crippled man begging for money. And so they heal this man. And a crowd takes note. People begin to notice. They recognize this man who for years has been begging at this same gate leading to the temple. And now in chapter 3, you can go back and read the story. He's up dancing and praising God and entering the temple with Peter and John. And folks are astonished. And so a crowd gathers. Peter notices this crowd and he begins teaching them about Jesus. He begins witnessing to them about the power of God who just healed this man. It says in, from chapter 3, men of Israel, why do you wonder at this? Why do you stare at us as though by our own power or piety we have made him walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and the God of Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus. And his name, by faith in his name, has made this man strong whom you see and know. And the faith that is through Jesus has given the man this perfect health in the presence of all. There's power in the name of Jesus, Peter says. So the people are already beginning to question. Crowd draws, kind of starts a disturbance. So they're thrown in jail for the night, Peter and John. And the next day, the leaders of the temple, they come and they basically put them on trial. They're questioning them. This is the first confrontation we see in the book of Acts, the very first confrontation between the disciples and sort of the powers that be. And that's where our passage picks up this morning. I love the part that we read from chapter 4 that it says all those captains and the leaders and the folks from the very high priestly family, it says they were greatly annoyed at the teaching of Peter and John. They were greatly annoyed. Now, we have to understand that this isn't just like the ordinary Jewish folks. They're the ones that kind of gathered and were part of the disturbance. But when they are questioned the next day after being put in prison, they are being questioned by like the religious and social elite, right? Like this is the high priestly family. In fact, you could, as Peter sort of calls them out in this dialogue, these are the people that turned Jesus over to Pilate to be killed in the first place, right? They thought they'd already taken care of this, that they had snuffed out this new movement, this Jesus guy, and now here comes some of his followers, some of these ragtag following, you know, saying the same thing. These are those of the priestly lineage, the ones who have all the power and who really have the most to lose if there's unrest in Jerusalem. They're the ones that were put in charge by Rome to keep the peace here, make sure everyone follows the rules and pays their taxes, and we'll leave you alone as long as you keep the peace. They have the most to lose if there's a disturbance in Jerusalem, if the temple falls into disrepute, if suddenly people say, we're not going to pay our taxes anymore, or we're not going to go to work, or we're not, you get the point. The very same people who tried to snuff out Jesus before. So they're greatly annoyed. I think there's a couple reasons they're probably annoyed. They're annoyed at the disturbance, okay? There's a crowd gathering. People are causing a scene. I think they're annoyed at the content of the teaching that Peter and John are saying that Jesus was raised from the dead. They're claiming the resurrection. That's pretty threatening to them in their social location, religious place. Teaching and healing in the name of Jesus, claiming that he's alive. I mean, this is heresy, even sedition. I mean, they're annoyed at the content of the teaching. I think the fact that their teaching is a success is probably also pretty annoying to them, right? The folks that sort of leaders of the temple, 5,000 people came to believe that day, and that's just counting the men. So there were probably more. So they're annoyed at the presence of Peter and John. They're annoyed at the content of their teaching, and they're also annoyed that it's working, that it's a success. But probably the thing that is most annoying of all, is that they are teaching here in the temple without the proper authority or credentials. Without, as Vance said last week, the alphabet soup behind your name. I noticed. It's okay. I noticed. They're teaching with that authority. I just have a couple letters. We're going to talk about that later. No one's off the hook here. Chief of all sinners. No one's off the hook here. They're teaching without the proper authority and credentials and training, and with great boldness. This is really annoying to the leaders. You can hear it in their questioning to Peter and John. By what power and by what name did you heal this man? We have a conflict here, this first confrontation between the powers. On one hand, you have the priest and the captain, the priest, those accomplished, they're educated, they've done all the right things, they believe the right confessions, they've had all the training and schooling. And then on the other hand, you have a couple commoners, some fishermen, manual laborers, right? Bottom of the social ladder. It's as if they're asking these disciples, who do you think you are? Who do you think you are coming here and teaching these things? It's like if I were to, I don't know, show up to the Olympics in Tokyo and head to the pool and, I don't know, try to coach, let's say, like Katie Ledecky, right? Like she's won 7 gold medals. She's won 14 golds in world championships. She's got 14 world records in 800 and all freestyle events, really. But, you know, I was a trained lifeguard once in college. I had to swim some laps at Lucon so I could guard at camp, right? So I'd be like, I'm going to show up to Tokyo and be like, Katie, I think your form's a little off today. Who do you think you are? I have no place and no business in any pool anywhere, let me tell you. It reminds me of that really funny quote that you've probably seen circulating around now that it's the Olympics time again. Like every event should have one like average person compete just for like a reference point for us to like really understand how amazing and excellent these Olympians actually are. I love to think about that. That would be me in the pool, right? Like for reference, I couldn't even complete like 200 meters. Or it would be like, you show up to a work site, a construction site. You don't have any training. You've maybe built like a birdhouse before. And you try to tell the foreman, like the official person, the top dog on the work site, that they've actually done the most embarrassing thing of all. And they've thrown away the cornerstone, the keystone, the last place, the last piece that you put in that like holds up the whole structural integrity of your whole arch, or really an ancient world, like the whole building, because there's just a mess of arches all throughout that. That's what Peter says to these leaders in the temple. You've thrown away the cornerstone. You've rejected him. You, the builders. Peter's basically telling them, these master builders, that they are incompetent. With great boldness. He's so annoying. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated, common men, they were astonished. Who do you think you are? But Jesus told them this would happen. In the Gospel of Luke, first part of our story, he tells them, when they bring you before the synagogues, the rulers and the authorities, do not worry about how you are to defend yourself or what you're going to say, for the Holy Spirit will teach you that very hour what you ought to say. He told them this would happen. Go and be my witnesses, wait for the power of the Spirit, and when you do these things that I'm sending you to do, you will be questioned, you will be tried, you may be killed. Don't worry about what you're going to say. The Holy Spirit will teach you at that very hour. They had boldness because they had been emboldened by the Holy Spirit. And what name did they heal? In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. This confrontation here between the powers that put Jesus to death and the power that raised him from the death. Do you see that? The confrontation between the powers that put Jesus to death and now the power of the Holy Spirit who raised him from the dead, alive and working through the disciples. It's amazing. It's extraordinary. It's two common, ordinary men. So Vance, one of my favorite things that you said last week, it's just going to pick on you all day. I'm sorry. It's not picking, it's good stuff. My favorite thing that you said last week, many things, but you said, I'm no theologian. I do not know the Bible backwards and forwards. I'm just a guy. And then, friends, he showed us what God can do with just a guy who says yes to the power of the Spirit working through him. And then he challenged all of us to consider, to realize that God has called ordinary, uneducated fishermen too, and he's still calling all of us and all of our ordinariness, believe that's a word, to be his hands and feet. He showed us how God called the disciples then, and he's still calling us now in all of our ordinariness, as teachers and nurses and engineers, as stay-at-home parents, as retail workers, go. And so this week we see the next part of that story of Scripture, those disciples, Peter and John, stand and heal and teach with boldness. Not because they were well-read or schooled or prepared or trained, other than by Jesus Christ of Nazareth. But because the power of the Holy Spirit was within them, and they said yes. That's the key. They said yes. And 5,000 came to believe. 5,000 and then some came to believe. I love that part at the end of our passage where it says in verse 13, and they recognized that they had been with Jesus. I'm willing to bet this means a couple of different things. First, they like actually recognize their face, like, oh, it's one of those guys. I remember them, some of those Jesus people. But I also hope and imagine that they recognized Peter and John because of how they lived, how they spoke, how they loved in this moment. Like if I get to the end of my life and I have accomplished nothing else, I hope someone says, oh yeah, I recognize that she's been with Jesus. They recognized that they had been with Jesus. The only training they had had was to be discipled by the Son of God for several years. That's nothing to, you know, sneeze at. But then they said yes to being used in the power of the Holy Spirit. And 5,000 plus came to believe on that very day. On that very day. So here's what I want you to know this morning as we wrap up. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is alive in you. It's what Romans 8 says. Do not underestimate the power that is within you to be bold, to pray for healing, to teach. Second thing, while education and, you know, sort of vetting of leaders is important in our denominational structure, I've, you know, gone through all that. We've jumped through the hoops. That's important for a lot of folks that want to be Christian leaders today. But what it doesn't do is it doesn't let any single one of us off the hook from answering this call to go and saying yes to the power of the Holy Spirit. There's no excuse, is what I'm saying. Well, I'm not a pastor. Oh, well, I've not had the formal training. Oh, well, I'm there. What Peter and John are showing us here is that no one gets off the hook. And in fact, what we can't assume is that there's a substitute for a spiritually mature believer whose life and love reflect the Spirit, the rule of the Spirit in their life. Nothing, not even ordination and not even the fancy degrees or the alphabet soup, nothing is a substitute for the fruit of the Spirit at work in your life, for a spiritually mature believer whose life and love reflects that. So that's what I'm trying to say. Nothing lets us off the hook. This is all of us together. So what? What now? Will you assume that authority? Says the bishop to me upon my ordination. But the same Holy Spirit has been poured out on all flesh. What's now? What's next? We say yes to this Holy Spirit power with boldness. And we go. to places we are uncomfortable. When's the last time you prayed over someone and prayed for their healing, not just physically, but emotionally and spiritually, that they be restored to a community? When's the last time you reached out to someone that you miss here and you say, I love you and I'm praying for you. How can I help you? Oh, I may be embarrassed, or I don't want to offend them, or I don't know where they are now. Go. When's the last time you heard maybe just like a little, I don't know, like a nudge to stop what you were doing, or to call up Vance and to go out with Heed, or to figure out, hey, what is Family Scholar House doing these days? When's the last time you saw someone in need and you felt that nudge and you thought, but I don't know the whole story. We're called to go. So throughout this series, every week, what I want to do is I want us to ask ourselves a few questions. What can I learn from the people we study that day? So today it's Peter and John. What can I learn from them? How can I be challenged by them? And then what is God calling me to do this week? Every week, to have the boldness to pray, to ask, to listen. What is God calling me to do this week? Because God does extraordinary things through everyday, ordinary people, especially the people that the world underestimates, that the world rejects, that the world casts out. It's exactly those people who proclaim the reign of the kingdom of God today among us more than ever. I want you to ask yourself these questions. What can I learn today? How can I be challenged by the story and faith of Peter and John? And what is God calling me to do this week? And whatever place you are in this world, as you go this week, and pray with boldness. And I want to hear about it, because I believe God is going to continue doing extraordinary things. Do not underestimate the power of God that's alive within you and at work in this world. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Gracious God, we give you thanks for the witness of these early disciples, for the story of the early church, and all we can learn as we revisit this narrative and see how you did extraordinary things through very ordinary people. God, many of us are familiar with some of these people, some of these stories. So God, I just ask that as we dive back into this in the coming weeks, the book of Acts, that you would pour out your Holy Spirit upon us again, that you would give us fresh eyes and fresh ears to hear how you might move through us, how we might be inspired and encouraged by the stories of these disciples, that we might see opportunities around us where we didn't see them before. God, that's the prayer that we are praying boldly this morning. Give us eyes to see opportunities where we did not see them before. Give us eyes to see the kingdom of God breaking in, the reign of God, maybe in places that we like to avoid or the world rejects or we underestimate. And in those moments, God, give us the courage to say what we need to say, to do what we need to do, to love, that the world might know that, hey, this church, man, they've been with Jesus. God, we thank you for who you are and for how you call and redeem and send us again. So God, would you just continue to work that extraordinary power in our lives this week? We love you, and we pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, all who repent of their sin, and all who seek to be in relationship with him and with one another. You are invited to this table every week as a part of that journey that we go on as disciples, that we receive the call of God, not when we're ready, but God redeems. We don't have to get all nice and pretty and tidy before we answer that call, just like you don't have to get all nice and pretty and tidy before you come to this table and you receive. This is the power of God at work within you, the grace of Jesus Christ available for you. And so you are invited to come this morning to receive Spend some time in prayer. Confess our sins of where we might have fallen short of what God asks for us and how we love and live our lives. And from this table, we are then sent back out to go. As we have received the body of Christ, we then go as his hands and feet. That's the practice and the pattern we do every single week. Not because it's a ritual, not because it gets old, but because we need it. This is a special holy time, and so I invite you this morning to come and to receive the grace that is sufficient for all of us here. And God, we ask that you'd pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here, on these gifts of bread and cup, that you would truly make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, so that we might be transformed, so that we might become more like you, and so that we might be for the world your hands and feet, announcing the reign of God everywhere we go. By your Spirit, O God, make us one with each other. Make us one with you, and make us one in ministry to all the earth until Christ comes in final victory and we can feast at your great heavenly banquet. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. I'm going to invite now our servers. We're going to have a station here on either side at the pillar. You're invited to come with a position to receive. They'll hand you the elements. You can take them back to your seat. Our prayer corner is open if you'd like to pray there after, or you can pray here in your seat. This is our time to respond to the grace of God poured out for us. If you are a visitor with us this morning, I just want to say welcome. I'm so glad you're here, whether here in person or watching online. I'm so glad that you have taken time to worship with us at Revolution Church. There's a Connect card, I believe. They're back, yes? Someone give me a thumbs up. Yeah, there's a Connect card in the seat back in front of you. If you'd like to fill that out, I'd love to be in contact with you this week about the ministries we're doing here at Revolution Church. As we respond this morning, this is also when we collect our morning tithes and offerings. We do that online through our app or here in our buckets on these four pillars. If you're interested in partnering with what God is doing through us here at Revolution. And if you're someone watching at home right now with questions or would like to participate in communion, call me this week, and I'll make sure that you get a chance to celebrate with us here at Revolution. I always miss my cue. I don't know why, but it happens. So good to be with you in worship this morning. You all really did sound great. Man, it was just good to be in the house of the Lord together. Yeah. So who do you think you are this week? Ordinary people? That children of God. That is right. Yeah, the audacity of those two men to stand up in the temple and start teaching, they didn't belong there. They had been as ridiculous. Like I said, you don't have any business being here. Who do you think you are? Well, they were children of God, sent by Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit to go, and so are you. In the power of the Holy Spirit to go. And what we hear and where we go this week, I'm excited to hear about it. Please do share with me. And as you go, one more thing. I think, David, I think you have a birthday this week. Is that right? So David here in the front, right here in the front, he's going to be 50 this week. David. And so as you go, as you leave here today, I want you to wish him a happy birthday, okay? Can we do that? On your way out, let's go, church. Let's be the revolution. Amen.